The whole of the Christian message is fantastic, is beyond belief how God would, choose to come into this world, choose to create the world, create human life, and give us a personality, give us a soul, and see in his divine wisdom that he would he planned to come and to be one of us before the fall, and suffering wasn't a part of it at that time, but he knew that it could and would be a part, and that he would enter into our world to suffer for us. So imagine being in the mind of God and the plan of God, that he would create this world where he has to, you know, witness sin, witness the misery of men, witness their unfaithfulness, and then get in the midst of it, and then suffer in it for us, you know, with us, united to us. And it's just a fantastic, unbelievable mystery, and it really goes to show how, you know, great and awesome God is. But it's beyond that. It's, you know, how do you answer that? Can he do that? How can he do something so amazing, so unbelievable, that he would come and be with us and lower himself from his infinite greatness and majesty to become a man? Just too awesome to believe, and yet it is reality, and we don't even understand it all. It's a mystery. But we underline, you know, that's what love, that's what infinite love can and does do. So it's a mystery which we continue to try to fathom, the infinite love of God. And, you know, he comes in so many incredible ways, and he comes to dwell in our midst, and starts as a little baby, that immense humility, and the devil is just like totally confounded. He who can only understand pride and self-exaltation, he can't understand. It's just totally the opposite of his evil way of thinking, and we can share in that too, of course, in our sinfulness and thinking that way. But God never ceases to amaze us and astound us, and it should just keep drawing us to praise him and thank him and just delve into the mystery of the greatness of God, and especially the love of God, the infinite love of God. That's where he really wants us to focus, the infinite love of God, because that's the only answer to everything he does. This infinite love of God makes him so incredibly great and unbelievably beautiful and amazingly good. That's the only answer, to delve into infinite love and to understand what that is. That's really our mission in life, is to really delve into what love is. And then we will start to understand some things, and things start to make sense, and they start to fit together, you know. So here we are looking at the Christ child and trying to learn so many different messages, so many different, you know, virtues. He just comes as a baby to not just to amaze us and to astound us to love him, but to imitate him, to imitate everything he does from the moment of his conception to the end of his life is all material for us to imitate. And so that's why we study his life. That's why we read the gospel. We read the life of Jesus over and over to delve into and imitate and copy everything that Jesus is and does. And this is, and everything is so beautiful. Everything is so beautiful, and it's so joyful to think about them and to put them into practice, because it is beauty itself. God is beauty itself. His wisdom is beauty itself. And so it's beautiful to be a Christian, and something we're so blessed to have and to know as devout Christians and Catholics. And something we have the duty to spread through the world, not to squander and not to just keep to ourselves, but the duty to spread and promote to those who don't have this this great treasure of our Christian faith. And you know, as the Jews in the Old Testament, they were called to spread the truth to all the nations, and they didn't. They squandered it. They kept it for themselves, and they prided themselves in it. And you know, it was very sad, and God had to put up with that. But perhaps He has to put up with a lot of us Catholics who don't always, you know, spread the faith, and we can pride ourselves in what we have and say, "I've got the best," and you know, you don't. So no, of course, we have to spread it. We have to spread it and look upon our neighbor as, you know, in need, and have compassion on them. Try to spread it and give this joyful message to the world. And you know, it's such a beautiful message. And why do people reject the nativity scenes? Why do they put it out of public places? Why do they want to expunge Christianity from the world? It just doesn't make any sense, and yet that's what they do. And of course, maybe the devil is the only way to understand it. He twists people's minds and whatever. But we have to keep proclaiming and keep standing up for our Christian faith, standing up for Christmas and for the Christian Christmas message and everything that it means, and especially to live it ourselves personally. And you know, as we look at the Christmas creche and the child and the baby there and the Holy Family there and the beauty of it and the Christmas lights and music and all this beauty, then let's not forget that there is sacrifice there. There's, you know, hardship there. Jesus and Mary didn't come to enjoy himself and to listen to Christmas music and enjoy himself from the moment of his birth. He came to sacrifice and to mortify himself and to set us that example. Here he is, born into nakedness and cold and hardship and you know, deprivation and poverty and suffering. He could look right in the face of Our Lady and see the beauty of her love for him, and that was his one consolation. Mary, Saint Joseph, the hearts of men who do truly love him. That's the only consolation God had, is the love of men, and he keeps trying to seek that, and that is all he wants. He doesn't want anything else. What else can we give him that he doesn't already have, of course? He only wants the love of men, and he tries to stir it up in us in so many different ways, as he does as the Christ child, as he did on the cross, as he does in the Eucharist, as he does in all the truths of our faith, tries to stir it up within the confines of faith, you know, within the confines of faith. He can't just come and grab a hold of us and show us his beauty and make us feel it all the time. You know, that wouldn't be faith. It wouldn't be the exercise of love, which means sacrifice and which means you know, effort to believe in him and to serve him without selfish gratification, which is what it would be if we saw him face to face. So he tries to stir up love in our hearts from all these all the beautiful things that he's done throughout the history of salvation, history of the creation of the human race. And it's up to us with our faith to stoke love in our own hearts for the love of him. And, you know, this is one way to do it in the Christmas message. And let's take advantage of it and let it touch our hearts and our actions and our behavior and our life. More and more, you know, here we are, however many years we're at, you know, we see our weaknesses, our failures, our, you know, not reaching the goals that we wanted, but God accepts us where we are and wants to bring us further. So let's forget about the past so much and work from today on to serve him better, to love him more, to give him more and more generously, to give more and more generously and sacrificially, as Jesus has shown us in this mystery. So this is what love is: generosity, sacrifice, generosity, and sacrifice. So ask for that grace in this Christmas grace. Misericordia.